perfect. Thank you. Speaking for us tonight, and as I've said in the past, and Chaim has always said, that the shir should be for Schos Rafur Shlema for Yosef Chaim Yisachar and Chaim Mushkin, all of Chol Yisrael. Chaim felt that was very important, that we should always mention all of Chol Yisrael. And it's quite funny that I never met Aaron before, so for me it's a new shir. And it's really a huge chus that Rabbi Aaron Feigenbaum will be speaking for us tonight.
Okay. So I want to...
You want to just slot it a little bit this way?
Yeah. Should I stand up? Is that better?
Yeah,
this way? Yeah, I'll move over.
All right. Can I get some more chairs?
Okay.
I gotta get more chairs.
Yeah,
start.
Okay.
Sorry. I'll go over to Karen.
All right. Can everybody hear me? Sort of. Maybe a little bit. Yeah. All right. I'll try my best. All right. I want to thank everybody for coming. I appreciate everybody's efforts to learn Torah, to daven, and to generally speaking, do what we can to assist in bringing a refuah to Chaim, Yosef Chaim, Yisachar. Why not? And I want to thank Kenny and the Yeagers for having the shir here in their house. I remember a few years ago, Rav Asher Weiss was in town, and he was saying the shir in the Schachter's house. And I remember Rav Asher said that we are a generation that is obsessed with shiurim. You know, we're right before Pesach. And so, hey, how's it going? Welcome. Thanks for coming. And so he said that we are a generation that's obsessed with shiurim. Pesach is coming up, and everybody always has to have a bigger shiur of matzah and more wine, and we're very, very machbid about shiurim. Rav Asher said, though, there's one shear that everybody wants to have smaller and not larger. Chazal tell us that you only say miktsas shivcho shaladam befanav. You only say part of a person's praise in front of them. And so all of a sudden, when it comes to people's praise, everybody tries to cut down. All of the shiurim, we try to say as much as we can. And with this shear, everybody tries to cut down. So Rav Asher said he's not so machmir on this shiur, and so he has bigger shiurim here. And so I never met Kenny before, but sometimes Kenny is a great person, sometimes Kenny is a malach, I don't know which one it is. I hear different reports from different family members of mine, and so I just wanted to specifically thank him and all of his family for what they do. Stop, so that we can actually learn. Yeah, good. So anybody who knows me and my brother well, so you know my brother and I are very different people. And we think very differently, and we learn very differently, and we learn very different things. It's why sometimes we have trouble learning together. I think to myself that sometimes God gave Chaim a brother-in-law who was Azer, and a brother who was Kenegdo. And I don't know what that means. Matt would probably be able to explain it better than me. But I thought that I would be more comfortable in my comfort zone, which is a little bit outside of Chaim's. If I have time, we'll do both. Kenny told me that we always learn about Shabbos, and so I want to learn a little bit about Shabbos to explain to us the experience of Shabbos, the essence of Shabbos, and I want to be nichnas, I want to enter into the sugya of Shabbos by looking at the tfilos of Shabbos, by looking at the davening of Shabbos. I heard when my penner spoke about the Shmoneh Esrei of Shabbos, I don't want to talk about that. Chaim would pick the Kabbalah's Shabbos, there's no doubt in my mind. Now, Chaim probably would have picked the Lecha Dodi, which I understand Rabbi Taubes spoke about. That's way out of my range. You have to understand something about the Lecha Dodi. You see, the Lecha Dodi is not like the Kabbalists explaining a tefillah. That's not what it is. The Lecha Dodi is a Kabbalistic tefillah. Right? Shlomo Alkabetz wrote the Lecha Dodi. The whole thing is Kabbalistic code. If you don't understand Kabbalah, you can't touch Lecha Dodi. We say it every Friday. We say it every week. But if you don't understand Kabbalah, you can't touch the tefillah. And I tried. I'm not going to lie to you. I tried. I sat down and I started, you know, preparing the Lecha Dodi, and then I found myself in a place where Rabbi Penner found himself last week. I could say all this, and I just don't understand it. And so I figured I would take a step back and try a part of Kabbalah Shabbos that I'm a little bit more comfortable with, so that I could explain it a little bit more comfortably, and hopefully explain some ideas about Shabbos a little bit better. So I want to start in the beginning of the Kabbalah Shabbos with Tehillim Tzadikei. The Kabbalah Shabbos starts with 5 chapters of Tehillim. Now, as a general rule, I found something that has elevated my tefillahs generally. I recommend it to everybody out of here. I apologize to you if the Hebrew is a problem, but I learn Malbim on any passage of Tefillah in which it exists. I find Malbim to be tremendously insightful and has elevated my Tefillahs tremendously, my study of the Malbim. The good news is that Malbim wrote on all of Tanakh. The good news is that much of Tefillah comes from Tanakh, and so you have Malbim's commentary on a lot of Tefillah, and I recommend to anybody who's looking to grow in their Tefillah and does not have a problem with the Hebrew to obtain a copy of Malbim's Perish on Tehillim and the parts of Divrei Hayomim that we use in Tefillah, and it's been very helpful for me, and maybe it'll be helpful for you. Tonight we're going to learn Tehillim Tzadikei. It's the beginning of Kabbalah Shabbos, the paragraph that begins, L'chu niranenu l'Adonai nariyo l'tzor yishenu. I'm going to read through the paragraph with you using mostly Malbim's interpretation, adding a few ideas as we go, and hopefully with this analysis of the beginning of Kabbalah Shabbos, we will be able to gain a greater understanding of the day of Shabbos, as well as our Tefillos Shabbos. So is everybody ready to go? Excellent. So David HaMelech writes, L'chu niranenu l'Adonai nariyo l'tzor yishenu. Let us go sing. I took this, what do they call this? When it's translated like that? Interlinear. There it is. Interlinear translation. I've never used before. It's a little bit confusing for me now that I look at it. But come, l'chu, let's go. And niranenu l'Adonai, let's sing to God. Nariyo l'tzor yishenu. Nariyo comes from like tiruah, to blow horns. Another kind of singing, another kind of song, to the rock of our salvation. And Malbim, by the way, is a general rule throughout Tanakh. Whenever things appear to repeat in Tanakh, Malbim doesn't like poetic repetitions. He doesn't think that such a thing exists in Tanakh. So whenever you have a pasuk like this, L'chu niranenu l'Adonai, let's go sing to God. Nariyo l'tzor yishenu, let's sing to the rock of our salvation. Now, if you would have asked me, I would have just said it's the same thing. It means the same thing twice. Go sing to God. It's just being poetic. Malbim could not accept that. And throughout Tanakh, wherever you find these kinds of doubling of phrases, Malbim goes at lengths to try to explain what is the difference between these two phrases and why is it repeated twice. And so here Malbim writes that generally speaking, he believes there are two ways in which God interacts in the world, and there are two ways in which we can access and see and recognize God in the world. The Ramban writes at the end of Parshas Bo, the Ramban believes that our mitzvah of emunah, our mitzvah of faith in God has two components, has two elements. The Ramban believes that we have to, with our mitzvah of emunah, with our mitzvah of faith, we have to combat what we would call atheism, people who don't believe in God. We have to have emunah, we have to believe in God, and we also have to combat, the Ramban writes, what we would call deists. Deists is like the watchmaker theory, people who believe that there was a prime mover, there is a God entity that created the world, has nothing to do with the world anymore. This is what whoever it was who called those animamids from the Rambam's commentary in Masech the Sanhedrin. The first of those animamids is animamid be'emunah shelema, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is borei umanhi. He created and he leads, both at the same time. Right? There are two different elements that we have to have as part of our mitzvah of emunah. By the way, there are Rishonim who add in more elements. The Smag and the Chinuch add in Kabbalah Satorah as part of our mitzvah. But not just belief in God as a creator, as a borei. We're not atheists. We believe there's a God. We're also not deists. We also don't believe that God created the world and then left us on our own. God is actively involved in the world. God is a manhig. He leads us on the way. Rishonim in the Chinuch and the Smag, they had a third element of Kabbalah Satorah. Part of the mitzvah of Emunah is not just to believe that God created the world, not just to believe that God is involved in the world, but to believe that God gave us the Torah. I think, I have no indication this is really true, but I think that the Chinuch and the Smag imagine that part of the mitzvah of Emunah is not just that God created the world and that God is involved in the world, but that God gave us direction in the world. That's why they add the mitzvah of, they add Kabbalah Satorah, receiving the Torah on the Har Sinai, into the mitzvah of emunah, into the mitzvah of faith. You see, at first glance, a little bit counterintuitive. You understand the Ramban's position. Faith in God. God exists. God is involved in the world. That he gave us the Torah on Har Sinai isn't necessarily, at least at first glance, a part of the mitzvah of emunah. But the Smag and the Chinuch both added in. It's a little bit different. I'm grouping them together, but it's slightly different. If you look at the Smag and you look at the Chinuch, they don't say exactly the same thing. But they both group Kabbalah Satorah in the mitzvah of emunah, and I think their understanding is that we have to believe not only that God created the world, not only that's involved in the world, but that God gave us direction in the world. God told us how to navigate the world, and that's Kabbalah Satorah. That's Maamar Har Sinai. That's not the Ramban's position. It's presumably not the Rambam's position. Their position is that there are two different elements to the mitzvah of emunah. The mitzvah of belief in God is believing that God created the world, and believing that God is involved in the world. Now the Malbim writes that in God's involvement in the world, God is involved in the world in two different forms. God is involved in the world in what the Malbim calls Hanhaga Tivis, in the natural order of the world. God created the world and He set up different modes of nature in the creation of the world so that the sun rises in the east and it sets in the west. That's how God set up the world. That's God interacting in the world in the natural order of the world. But then God interacts in the world in what the Malbim calls Hanhaga Nisis, in God's, my kids would call Hanhaga Nisit, you know, when we go to one of those schools. But God, it's very confusing because when I talk with the kids at home, you know, I always try to talk with the Suf, with the Ashkenazis, because that's our tradition and that's how we daven and things like that. And they always talk with the Tuf. So, like, I'll say, you know, tzitzis, and Kayla will correct me. Daddy means tzitzit, right? So it gets interesting in the house. But on Haganisis, the Malbim says, and that's God interacting in the world with miracles. Above nature, beyond nature, not in the regular natural order of the world, God interacts in the world in both of these realms. And so the Malbim believes that Tehillim Tzadik Hei, this paragraph of Tehillim, is an introduction to these two different realms in which God interacts in the world. God interacts in the world in a natural order. God interacts in the world with miracles above the natural order. The next two paragraphs of Tehillim, this is all of Kabbalah Shabbos. Tzadik Hei, Tzadik Vav, Tzadik Zayin, Tzadik Ches, Tzadik Tes. It's all of Kabbalah Shabbos. The next two paragraphs, Tzadik Vav and Tzadik Zayin, are describing God interacting in the world in nature with the natural order of the world. And then the last two, Tzadik Ches and Tzadik Tes, are describing God interacting in the world with miracles above and beyond nature. It means, according to Malbim's interpretation, the entirety of Kabbalah Shabbos is about emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, it's really, really fascinating if you think about it. You know, on Yom Tov, it's easy to point out what the nature of a day of Yom Tov is. Pesach is coming up, right? Pesach is nearly upon us. What is the essence of the holiday of Pesach? Pesach is Yom Cheruseinu. Everybody knew that. All right. Pesach is Yom Cheruseinu. Pesach is about freedom. Pesach is about Cherus. Sukkis is Zman Simcha Seinu. It's about Simcha. Thank you very much. Shavuos is Zman Matan Torah Seinu. Yom Kippur is a Yom Slicha, Mechila, Kapara, Rosh Hashanah, what? Zikaron. And Shabbos? What is the essence? Menucha. What does that even mean? What is the essence of the day of Shabbos? And so Rabbi Sacks often suggests, Rabbi Yonason Sacks often suggests, that the essence of the day of Shabbos is a day of emunah, is a day of belief. Rabbi Sacks has proof to this from the Kiddush that we say on Friday night. On Friday night we say in Kiddush that Shabbos is Zecher li Yetzias Mitzrayim, that Shabbos is a remembrance of the Exodus from Egypt. We also say in that very same Kiddush, just a few words later, that Shabbos is Zikaron L'maaseh Bereishis, that Shabbos is a remembrance to the creation of the world. And Rabbi Sacks asks, well, which one is it? When I'm sitting on Shabbos, what am I supposed to remember? Am I supposed to remember the creation of the world? Am I supposed to remember the Yetzias Mitzrayim? What am I supposed to remember on Shabbos? Rabbi Sacks said, obviously you're supposed to remember both, and there's no contradiction between the two. Because Emunah has in it two elements. Part of our belief is a belief that God made the world. Shabbos, if it's a day of Emunah, if Shabbos is a day of belief in God, then part of Shabbos has to be a remembrance and a belief that God created the world. It's Zikaron L'Maaseh Bereishis. But part of Emunah is also remembering that God is a manhig, that God is actively involved in the world, and we remember that by recalling His miracles. We remember that by calling all of the miracles that He performed for us. That's why the Ramban writes, by the way, at the end of Parshas Bo, it's the same Ramban. That's why the Ramban writes that we have so many mitzvot that are remembrance of Yetzias Mitzrayim. There are so many mitzvahs that we do. L'man tizkor es yom tzeis chamiyaretz Mitzrayim, to remember the day when we leave Egypt, because we have to remember God's active involvement. Ramban says God, unfortunately for us, God doesn't perform open and obvious miracles for everybody to see constantly all the time. That's not how God acts. He doesn't perform open and obvious miracles for everybody in every generation. And so there's a command on the fathers to tell their kids and to tell their kids and to tell their kids that they saw God HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they saw the miracles, they saw the nisim, that God is active and involved in the world. That's very hard for us, by the way. It's very hard for us. You know, I like Tanakh. I learn a lot of Tanakh. I say a lot of Shiurim on Tanakh. If you look in the book of Habakkuk, anybody here learn the book of Habakkuk? Yeah? So if you look in the book of Habakkuk has a very hard time with this. Habakkuk has a very, very hard time with seeing God in the world. And Habakkuk in Perek Aleph, the whole book is three chapters. A wonderful, wonderful sefer, Habakkuk. In the first chapter of Habakkuk, Habakkuk complains to God. Habakkuk takes a tone. Ooh. Habakkuk takes a tone to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Habakkuk says to God, God, where are you? And how could you let this? And how could you let that? And how could you do this? Go read it. Habakkuk, Perek Aleph. In Perek Beis of Habakkuk, God responds to Habakkuk. God answers Habakkuk. And it's easy to understand, you know, like Yonah. God and Yonah have a cryptic conversation at the end of the book of Yonah. It's very, very strange. The conversation between God and Yonah is not easy to understand. There appears to be very little resolution at the end of the book of Yonah. Eov makes challenges to God, and Eov is very hard to understand. Very difficult to understand the resolution between God and Eov. But Habakkuk is a little bit easier to understand. And then the Perek Gimel of Habakkuk is also fascinating, because then Habakkuk reflects. Habakkuk looks back on this experience with God. But Habakkuk challenges God, and God tells Habakkuk something that Chazal said summarizes, puts all of the Torah on one point and on one pedestal. God says to Habakkuk, Hinei ufla lo yashra nafsho bo. Somebody who raises his soul with a little bit of arrogance, somebody who thinks they understand what's going on in the world, lo yashra nafsho bo. His soul will never be straight. He has doubts about this. He has doubts about that. He doesn't understand this. He can't understand what's going on here. He doesn't understand what's going on. And God says to Habakkuk, if that's where you find yourself, v'tzadik be'emunaso yichyeh. One pasuk, fascinating pasuk in Habakkuk. God says to Habakkuk, but the righteous don't operate that way. The righteous operate with one principle, emunah. They operate with the principle of belief in God, a principle that I don't understand why everything happens, but I throw everything back into God's court, and I believe that God is not only the creator of the world, but is actively involved in the world and ushering along the activities that happen to us all the time. And Rabbi Sacks said that Shabbos is a day of emunah, which is why Shabbos is both Zecher Lamas, Zikaron Lamas Ebereshis, and Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim, because it encompasses both these two elements of Emunah, believing that God created the world and believing that God is actively involved in the world. And Malvin believes that that is the essence of the Kabbalah Shabbos. The essence of the Kabbalah Shabbos is to recognize that God is the creator of the world and operates in the world via the natural order of the world, but that God also is actively involved in the world and performs miracles on a regular basis, continuing the events that take place in the world. And so Malvin says, L'chu niranin al Adonai, all that in the Malvin's first pasuk. L'chu niranin al Adonai. Let's go sing songs to God, because He's God, because He's grand and great, and He created the world and awesome. But Norio Litsuri Yishenu, let's also sing praise to God, who is the rock of our salvation. It's personal. You understand? You see the difference that Malbim says. He's beyond me. He's grand. He's great. He's Bore. He created the world. But Norio Litsuri Yishenu, let's also sing praise to the God who's close to us. He's the rock of our salvation. He's near to us. I have a relationship with Him. Not just creator of the world, but also manig of the world, leading the world continuously as we go, seeing God not only as the creator of the world, but as our personal savior within the world. Nikadma panav besoda. And Malbim here writes something very, very interesting. Malbim writes that there are two ways that you could access God. For some people, they start l'chu niranin al Adonai. For some people, they start by seeing God as the creator of the world. They start like you find in Rabbeinu Bachya, in the Chovos HaLevavos. They start by seeing the world in its grandeur, by going out and seeing nature. By the way, you travel this country ever? I had a wonderful experience with Malki, and we had opportunity to travel some of this country a few years ago. There is some tremendous things to see in this country. You don't have to go far. to see beauty and grandeur, and you just look out at some things sometimes, and maybe I'm a sack, but you look out sometimes at the world, and you're taken in by it. It's incredible. I found myself on an airplane today flying over the Appalachian Mountains, and you look out, I mean, at least I did, from some, I don't know what, 18, 20,000 feet, whatever it is, over these green mountains, as far as the eye can see, from 20,000 feet up, and I just stare. I wish I was asleep, I'll be honest with you, but you just stare out at nature, and it's beautiful, it's grand. I didn't even know, I'm embarrassed, I didn't know it was the Appalachian Mountains. I was getting off the plane, and I asked the pilot, you know, because they stand in the front over there, you know, and they say, have a nice day, bye-bye. And so I was getting off the plane, and I said to him, you know, the pilot, I said, by the way, you know, what were those mountains that we flew? I was bored. He said, that's the Appalachian Mountains. I said, oh, of course, I knew that. Right, yes, right? But you see these things, and you take it. You're taken by it. That's starting a path to God from L'chun Yiranu El Adonai, starting not from my own personal experience, starting from the grandeur. For some people, it's not nature. For some people, it's science. For some people, it's the body. I remember I was a psychology major in school, and I did not care for the science part of it. Those of you who know me understand probably why. But I didn't care for the science part of the psychology, but I took a whole course. I had to take a whole course about the human eye. Why? Don't ask me why. It's a psychology class. I still haven't figured it out. But I had to take a class about the human eye and how the eye works. If we have any physicians here in the room or anybody who knows science, it's beyond belief the way that our bodies are constructed and the way that we operate and what we can accomplish. It's beyond belief. And so for some people, it's not seeing nature, it's seeing the way that we are seeing the human body. But I can start a path to God from L'chun Yiranu El Adonai, from broad general creation, not from personal experience. But Malachi says, Knesset Yisrael's path to God, the Jewish people's path to God is different. The Jewish people's path to God is Nekadma Panav Bisoda. Start your path to God with thanks. Finding the things that are in your life that you can be thankful for. Nikadma panav. I begin my quest to God bisoda, with thanks. With thanks of the things that happened to me, the things that I can give praise for, and then bismiros nariolo. And then I can expand. I can expand beyond that to sing general praises of God. So you see again the two paths. The second path starting from seeing God in my life. From seeing things that I can be thankful for. From seeing God having a personal relationship with me. Mikadma panav besoda, and then expanding to God as the more general deity, bezmiros nariolo, singing more general praise with God. This reverse path, Malbim says, starting from the particular and moving to the general, is the path for Knesset Yisrael. That's why Malbim says, I said already before, we have so many mitzvos. The Ramban says it in Bova, the Malbim says it here on Tehillim Tzadikei. We have so many mitzvos that are zecher letzias Mitzrayim, because we have to start from the personal. We have to start from that which God... We are very much a people of history, by the way. We need to know our history. It's very important. To be Jewish and not understand Jewish history is a very, very difficult thing. You know, when we deal with Geirim, people want to convert, so you can't just learn Halacha. You also have to learn Jewish history. It's a part of the process. The RCA now is a whole thing I'm going to talk about. But part of the thing that you have to learn with them is Jewish history. People have to have a sense of Jewish history in order to be an active part of Knesset Yisrael. And this is partially why. Because we approach God from personal experience, not just our own personal experience, but our national experience in general. And so we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we felt the thanks that He did for the things to us. We passed that Mesorah on to our children. And that's why the Atzeres HaDibros, by the way, start with Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzasicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim. That God who took us out of Egypt, not God who created the world. Malbim suggests the reason why is because for Knesset Yisrael, our path to God is supposed to move through personal experience and not through the general things. It's interesting, by the way, because if you look at Rabbeinu Bachya in the Chovos HaLevavos, so he doesn't suggest that. He suggests start with the general ways and move to the specific. But here Malbim says to start with the specific and then move to the general. And now David HaMelech explains these two paths to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, finding God in the general, moving to the specific, starting from the specific and moving to the general. Is everybody with me so far, by the way? Yes? Yes, nods? Excellent, good. So now David HaMelech explains the two paths. Ki el gadol Adonai u melech gadol kol Elohim. You can approach God this way, from seeing God as great, grand. El gadol Adonai u melech gadol kol Elohim. He is the king over all else. What is all else? Asher biyado mechkere aretz v'sa'afos harim lo. In God's hands are the vasts of the earth, the expanses of the earth. In God's hands are the peaks of the tallest mountains. It's all in God's hands. Asher lo hayam v'hu osahu v'yabeshes yadav yatzaru. He made the sea, he made the dry land, he created everything. You find God by looking at nature and recognizing the creator, the borei of it all. You find God in seeing all of those different things. That's one path. But that's not our path. Our path, Malbim says, is Bo'u nishtachave v'nichra'o nivrecha lifnei Adonai Oseinu. Let us go and let us bow and humble ourselves before God Oseinu, who made us. You hear it? It's now personal. Our path is not through that creator. Our path is through the manhig, through the one who made us personally. The Gemara in Kiddushin tells us that Shlosha Shufim Ba'adam, there are three partners in creating a person. A person's father, a person's mother, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu personally, Lifnei Adonai Oseinu, before God who created us, but not only created us personally, also created us nationally, who took us out of Mitzrayim, who brought us to Har Sinai, who gave us national identity, who sustained us through generations of persecution and through different countries and different places. God Oseinu, who made us personally, who made us nationally. That's how we find God. Ki because Hu Eloheinu, He is our God, personal. Va'anachnu, and we, Amma Ariso Vitzon Yado, we are His nation, we are His sheep, He is our shepherd. And it will be that way Hayom im bekolo tishma'um. And here it gets a little bit tricky. You see, the Malbim says that there's a difference. There's a difference between all of these things that we listed that belong to God, the mountains, the seas, the land, all of these things, and us. There's a difference. You know what the difference is? All of these things are biyado. They're all in God's hands. The mountain, the seas, the dry land, they're all in God's hand. They don't have a choice. They follow God's word, they see God, and that's how they're made. That's how God fashioned them. But we're not that way. We can choose to not see God, or we can seek Him out. We can be God's people. He can be His shepherd. It could happen hayom, it could happen today. In bikolo tishmo, if we choose to follow in that path. You see, experiencing God from personal experience, not seeing God in nature, but seeing God as involved in my life, seeing God as in the events that happen to me, that involves my choice. That involves my action. That has to be in bikolo tishma'u, a decision that I make. It's unlike the mountains, it's unlike the seas, it's unlike everything else in the world. We have to make such a choice to find God in our lives. And that's why, by the way, you ever worry about it? You know, it's kind of interesting. If you never learn this paragraph in Tehillim, maybe I should have started like this, I don't know. If you never learn this paragraph in Tehillim, so it's a little bit strange. You know, the Chazan on Friday night, he's starting the Kabbalah Shabbos. You ever think about this? The Chazan, he starts the Kabbalah Shabbos at the end of the first paragraph, so he sings with a beautiful voice. Jay, you'll forgive me for doing this. You know, I come from a family of, thank God, I come from a family of beautiful Balei Tefillah. My father is a very nice Baal Tefillah. If there are any Gabayim here in B'nai Yishurin, so I'll say that again. My father is a very nice Baal Tefillah. My brother is a beautiful Baal Tefillah. He's probably the best of us, no? He's probably the best. And I drew the short straw on this one. It's okay. Everybody has their own strengths and weaknesses. I drew the short straw on this one. But the Chazan at the end of the first paragraph, right? So he says, He says, Arbaim shana kut bedor, and he's seeing you very beautifully, right? I'll translate it for you. Arbaim shana kut bedor. God says, for 40 years I fought with these people. It's beautiful. Va'omar am toilev of haim. And I, God, I said, these people are sinners and they're terrible, right? Va'omar am toilev. Ve'heim lo yadu derachai. They don't know my ways. They don't follow my commands. It's lovely. Asher nishbati bi'api. God says, I swore in my anger. Im yivon el menuchasi, I would never let these people come into Eretz Yisrael, and I kill them all in the desert. Oh, it's a beautiful way to accept Shabbos, no? It's lovely, right? It's a beautiful song, right? It's better when they do it with the Kalbach tune, you know? And it's, oh, very nice. Everybody's dying. God is so angry. I'm so happy, right? Lovely. It's beautiful, right? But the paragraph turns on this point, right? That David HaMelech says, we can be God's shepherd. God can be our shepherd. We can have that personal, close relationship with Him. We can feel Him not only as the creator of the world, but actively involved in our lives today. But we have to choose to do such. We have to choose to do such. We have to choose to seek God in our lives. We have to search for Him in our lives. And that's why David HaMelech says, Al takshu levavchem kirimo kiyom asaba midbor. Do not be like those people in the desert, to harden your heart. Al takshu levavchem. You know, you find that by Paro. Pesach is on us, right? You find that by Paro. God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Vani akshes leiv Paro," harden Paro's heart. To harden your heart means to have experienced something and then to ignore it. Does everybody understand that? If you have to harden your heart, it means that you experienced something which should have allowed you not to, and you have to actively harden your heart. So the Jews who went through Kriyas Yamsuf, the Jews who went through the miracles in Mitzrayim, and they came out and they sinned to God in the desert, they were takshu libavchem. I'm sorry, al takshu, don't harden our hearts like them. They hardened their hearts. They could have experienced God, they could have seen Him, and they hardened their hearts not to feel that experience in their lives. Kiyoma sabam in bar, like they tested God in the desert. Asher nisuni avosechem bechanuni gam ra'ufa ali, even though they saw my actions, they still tested me and sinned against me. And then God says, Arbaim shana kupador, and for 40 years I fought with those people, v'omar amtoi leiv of haim, and I said they were sinners and they didn't know my ways. Asher nishbati bi'api mibon menuchasi, I swore that I wouldn't let them come into Eretz Yisrael, I wouldn't let them come into my land. David HaMelech is saying, don't be like those people. What should we be like? We should be like these people who search and seek for God in at least one of these two paths. To start with the general and move to the specific, or to start with the specific and move to the general. And we're not going to go through the rest of the paragraphs of the Kabbalah Shabbos. But the Malbim believes, like I said, and I invite you, like I urge, to read the rest of the Malbim's commentary to see how he sees in the rest of the Kabbalah Shabbos these ideas. Seeing God in the general, moving to the specific, seeing God in the specific actions that take place in our lives, and then moving and broadening to the general. But the idea is that Shabbos is a day of emunah. Shabbos is a day of faith. It's why Shabbos remembers Maaseh Bereishis and Yetzias Mitzrayim. But how is that? We have a few minutes left. How is it that Shabbos is a day of emunah? That Shabbos is a day of faith? How is it that Shabbos is intended to cement emunah? Shabbos is intended to strengthen our belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our belief in God. So as Samson Raphael Hirsch writes, you can find this both in the 19 letters and in the Choreb, which shouldn't surprise you, by the way, because Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch first wrote the Choreb. Anybody who davens in Bnei Yeshurun is very well familiar with the book of Choreb by Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch. It doesn't mean you read it, it just means you've seen it. I, in fact, have Pessy's copy of the Choreb from her bat mitzvah in my house in Memphis. I don't know if she knows that, but she does now. In case she was looking for it, it's in my house. Somehow, I don't know, it ended up in my boxes. Not really sure how that happened or who slipped that in. I also have Chaim's 19 letters in my house in Memphis. That I know how that happened. He knows I have it, but apparently I steal Rabbi Hirsch books. So if you have Rabbi Hirsch books and I'm in your home, you might want to check the shelves. No, I'm kidding. I would not steal your Rabbi Hirsch books. But in any event, Rabbi Hirsch first wrote the Choreb. Now the Choreb is a brick of a book. It is a brick. Right? I'm not sure how those bar mitzvah kids carry it all the time. The Choreb is a brick of a book. But the publishers didn't want to print the Choreb because printing was a big deal back then. And it was a brick. It's a big book. And they weren't sure how it was going to go over. So Rabbi Hirsch wrote the 19 letters. The 19 letters is sort of like a primer for the Choreb. In the 19 letters, Rabbi Hirsch describes his theory in general. In the Choreb, he describes it in the specific. So they printed the 19 letters as a test case for the Choreb. The 19 letters spread like wildfire across Europe. It was translated to different languages. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter had it translated into Russian. It was translated into Hebrew. The 19 letters spread like wildfire. It's a great book, by the way. Start with the 19 letters. Anybody who wants to learn Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch, a little bit about his thoughts, start with the 19 letters. It's a small little book. It's easier to read because of the format that he wrote it in. It's not so dense and heavy like the Choreb. Start with the 19 letters. It's really, really lovely. But so you find a lot of the similar themes in the 19 letters and in the Choreb. Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch writes that Hashem created the world by Sar Ma'amoros Nivra Olam, Mishnah in the end of Avos. God created the world in 10 utterances, and God created everything in the world in a specific way. Rabbi Hirsch writes, God created everything in the world. The way that the world operates is that everything in the world takes in order to give back. That's how the whole world works. Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch says, think about it like this. The oceans get water. The oceans take in water. What do? The water then they give back. It ascends back up into the heavens. The clouds collect it. The clouds take it. And what do? They rain it down on the world. The ground takes in the water. And then what does the ground do? It gives back. It grows. The vegetation takes the water from the ground. It grows and it sprouts. And then what happens? Something. Animals come and they eat the vegetation. So the animals take the vegetation and then the animals assist us. We use them for work. We use them for food. But here's where it starts to break down. Because we are not like everything else. Like Malbim said, everything else in the world is forced to follow God's plan. But we can choose not to. We have to choose to follow God's plan. Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch writes that people were created with one of those Asar Ma'amoros, just like everything else in the world was created with one of those Asar Ma'amoros. We are intended to take in order to give back. But how do we assure that people continue when they take to give back? How do we assure that people will continue to follow God's plan and not just see themselves as the end users in the world? We're the same as the rest of creation. We're not intended to just be the end users of the world. We're intended to take in order to continue to give back. God puts Adam into the world, le'ovda u'lishomra, continue to guard it and to give back, to progress and to move on. So how do we assure that we don't see ourselves as the end users of the world, but we recognize that we're just a part of God's plan, like everything else, intended to take in order to give back? And Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch suggests that the answer is the Shabbos. On the first day that God ceased from active labor, on the first day that God handed over the world to human beings to be the driving forces of active labor and control in the world, on that first day, on the Shabbos, God also told us, don't perform active labor. Don't perform active work. Because in that refraining and in that stopping from work, we recognize that while we dominate nature, while we use the natural order of the world to fulfill our wants, our desires, our dreams, and our goals, we recognize by ceasing from labor on the day of Shabbos that we are not the ultimate masters of the world. We're not the end users of everything in this world. That everything in the world comes to us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On Shabbos, we, so to speak, restore the world back to Hashem. On Shabbos, we cement our emunah that everything in the world comes to us from God. And that while throughout the rest of the week, we are the controllers of the world, on Shabbos, we recognize that really that control is not in our hands. And everything comes to us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how the Shabbos is intended, to cement our emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By the way, this is why the malachos of Shabbos are all about creative labor. No, for the lamdanim in the room, or we'll just run this off really quickly. On Shabbos, in order to violate malacha, you have to violate maleches machsheves. Yeah, Maleches Machsheves means that there's a lot of things that are Maleches Machsheves. Very, very quickly. It means that your Malacha has to fulfill a specific aim. That's why Malacha Shein Etzricha L'Gufa is not a real Malacha. It means that your Malacha has to have specific intent. That's why Adar Shein Meskavein is not a Maleches Machsheves. It means that you have to have specific skill in performing that Malacha. And that's why the Malacha Kila Achar Yad is not really Maleches Machsheves. It means that the Malacha that you perform has to have a certain amount of usability, a certain amount of achievement, and that's why a malacha that's less than a shear is not considered to be malacha on Shabbos, because malacha on Shabbos is showing that we don't control. It's about active labor. It's about creative labor. It's why kol mekalkulin peturin. It's why malachas that are kilchul and destructive are pater on Shabbos, because malacha on Shabbos is supposed to mark and show that we are not the masters of the world. That at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is where we have to place our emunah. So refraining from work on the day of Shabbos cements our emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's how we're supposed to remind ourselves that the world was created by God, and everything that happens in the world is actively led along by God. Like that Ramban writes at the end of Parshas Bo, Shabbos is supposed to remind us, She'en la'adam chelek b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu, ad she'na'amin b'chol dvareinu mikreinu she'kulam nisim ein bahem teva u'minhago shel olam, that a person has no portion in the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu until he believes in everything that happens in his life, that it is all miracles. There is no such thing as the natural order of the world. There is no such thing as the way that the world normally operates. We've seen in our lifetimes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand intervenes in the world, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides for us things in the natural order of the world that we could not have envisioned happen, we did not see happening. On the day of Shabbos, when we relinquish control back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that. And that's why Chazal tell us that somebody who keeps Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him nachala b'li mitzarim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a portion without troubles and without difficulties. The Gemara says, it's in Shabbos Kuf Yud Ches, the Gemara says that somebody who keeps Shabbos, God provides for him kol neshalos libo, all of the desires of his heart, because somebody who looks back at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, somebody who keeps the day of Shabbos, and he says, God, in the end of the day, my actions don't dictate all that happens in this world. In the end of the day, you not only created the world, but you're actively involved in leading me along. You take my actions, you make them successful. Sometimes you make them unsuccessful. But in the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are in charge. You are the master. Somebody who keeps Shabbos like that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds with bracha. Let's try to take advantage of the day of Shabbos. Let's look at Kabbalah Shabbos. We're going to dive in Kabbalah Shabbos in just a few days. It's Wednesday, after all. It's already Thursday, right? But we said this morning in the Shir Shoyom, L'chun eranin al Adonai, the Kabbalists write that Shabbos is choteif kol ma'ane kedusha, that Shabbos grabs all of the drops of kedusha that fall throughout the rest of the week. It's why you can make Havdalah all the way until Tuesday, and then on Wednesday you start to the next Shabbos, L'chun eranin al Adonai. It's why in the L'chadodi we say that Shabbos is mekor ha-beracha. Or Achayim writes that when God created the world, He only created the world with the strength to last 6 days. And then when we keep Shabbos, God gives the world the strength for the next week. Because Shabbos is the Makor HaBracha. Shabbos is the root. It's the source of the bracha, of the strength for the rest of the week to continue. When we keep Shabbos, when we cement our emunah and our belief that everything that we have comes to us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that belief in Him and He responds by giving us bracha. So it's a beautiful thing that we're learning for Refuah Shleima, for Yosef Chaim Yisachar Ben Chaim Mushkit, the halachas of Shabbos, the laws of Shabbos, the hashkafa and the machshava of Shabbos, the thought processes of Shabbos. Let's take a moment on Shabbos. Let's take a moment. If you daven Kabbalah Shabbos, or if you say Kiddush on Shabbos, let's take a moment at some point on Shabbos and think about emunah. Let's take a moment at some point on Shabbos and just think to ourselves, Shabbos is Zecher liyetzias Mitzrayim. Shabbos is Zikaron lemaaseh bereishis. Let's think about belief in God. Let's reaffirm in ourselves the belief that God created the world, that God is actively involved in the world, that God gives us direction in the world. And I hope and I pray that through our strengthened emunah, God will give us nachala b'li mitzarim. God will give us a portion and inheritance that knows far fewer sorrow, far fewer troubles, because we put our trust and our faith in God. Hayom, today, in Bekolo Tishmahu, we decide to heed his voice. I want to thank everybody again for coming. I want to thank again the Jaegers for having this year. And mi yitein HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send refuah shleima v'mehera, refuah hanefesh, refuah haguf, leYosef Chaim Yisachar ben Chaim Moshe, besoch shar chol Yisrael.
Amen. We're going to say Tehillim. There's another set that was on the table. And we'll say Tehillim when everybody's done. We'll make them share. What? We have all our presets up. Yeah.
What are you saying?
We'll be a million for my revenge.
I'm going to have to get there.